You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. We are lucky enough to have calling into the show right now on a very big day for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Team President Stan Kasten. Stan, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Stan, I was thinking about you today because you've spent a career in sports. And if I would have told you years ago when you were running the Braves and you were running the Atlanta Hawks that in 2020 a guy's going to get a 12-13-year deal for almost $400 million, you probably would have laughed me out of the room. But I actually think this is a good deal for Mookie and a good deal for the Dodgers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I used to joke, and Andrew and I were joking about this just last night. When I got here, I had never had a payroll over $100 million, and I skipped the hundreds and went right to 200. Well, obviously, Andrew never had a payroll near 100, and he skipped 100 and 200, and now he did a contract at 300. So, yeah, we try to keep up. We can justify it, as we've demonstrated from the first day we got here, because of the strength of the marketplace, because these fans will support us. If we're smart about those kind of investments, the sponsorship and media landscape is such that it will work. It doesn't work that way in every city, but it does work here. And it's a great day for us because it really is a cap on a number of years of building toward this. So, you know, the goal remains the same. We want to win the World Series this year, and we're going to want to win it next year and the year after that and the year after that. So this is what we try to do. Fortunately, we have a great guy in Andrew Friedman that puts us in a position to be able to contend every year. And this, as you say, is a very big day.
Dodgers team president Stan Kasten is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So, Stan, when you originally the deal was made for Mookie Betts, was it in your guy's head that you were going to keep him long term?
It was certainly in our head that we were going to try, but there was no way to know how that would work out. We did have some talks in training camp, and then the world ended, you may recall.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And so it just got picked back up a couple of days ago in a way that just kind of worked for both of us. But the goal always was to keep him here, but, you know, it was going to be best effort. There was nothing do or die about it. I mean, the franchise would have gone on if we didn't sign him. We tend to be reasonably disciplined, but we also tend to be aggressive when we can be, and this was one of those times. So this was always certainly a goal, but, you know, you never know how those things are going to work out.
Stan Kasten from the Dodgers is with us. Stan, it's been weird, I'm sure, for you too, to watch these games at Dodger Stadium, these exhibition games, and wonder what that renovation you guys spent all that time and money on in the offseason really would look like if we could go to the ballpark. Have you in your own head ruled out fans, even limited fans, this season? Is it already done that we're not going to get to see it this season, or is that still something you're holding on to?
Look, I haven't ruled it out, and we have all kinds of seating plans if we're allowed, you know, 10 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people. We have those things ready to go. But based on the information we have today, based on the information we have from the health authorities, I think the chances are remote for this season, at least through September. Does that include October? I couldn't tell you. But right now, I would say we are less likely than many other cities to have fans in the stands. The good news is, yeah, it's weird being at the ballpark with nobody there. It really is. But it's really not that weird on television.
And no.
All of us are going to have an opportunity to watch every night on television. The games are going to sound very similar. People make fun of the cutouts, but they really are an important thing, especially on TV. So on TV, I think the game is going to be as much fun, but maybe a little different as it's ever been. And we all have that to look forward to, whether we're at the ballpark or not.
Stan, there's a conversation John Heyman's reporting with the MLBPA about still, for this season, trying to expand the playoffs to 16 teams. Are you in favor of a 16-team playoff plan?
I'm in favor of expanded playoffs. I am. In general, I'm in favor of expanded playoffs. I don't know the specific plan that's being discussed, and I am proud to tell you I have no knowledge of any such conversation. So there is, you know, so I couldn't leak something if I want to. I don't know about that, if it's happening. I think it would be great, but I just don't know whether it's happening or not.
Stan, here's why we are worried about it. I like expanded playoffs, and I come from the NBA. I know you spent time in the NBA. They've had 16 teams forever, and it's great. So the idea of 16 teams is I'm excited about it. But I, as a Dodger fan, I think we got a great chance to win the World Series this year. I don't want to get knocked out in a three-game series by an inferior team. Is that a legitimate concern?
I suppose it's a concern. I suppose, but, you know, we should do what's best for fans. We should do what's best for the sport. I think that's the best thing for the sport going forward. As you know, we can't worry about how things are going to work just this year because, as we've seen, stuff happens every year. And so we just don't know. But I think it's a good thing for the sport. I think if baseball makes a deal with the players to do that, we'd be just fine with it.
You know, Stan, it feels almost like today is a capstone on everything you guys have been doing since you got here. Renovating the stadium, the new renovation this year, building the farm system and getting young players in the pipeline. Is there a sense that today is kind of a day where it's like everything is paying off? And by the way, not to mention that the games are going to be on television for everybody on DirecTV and stuff this year, which hasn't been for 6 years. Does it feel like this is sort of a capstone for where you guys are?
Well, I think it's a big day for sure. But I'm glad you brought that up. I was on a Zoom call with our entire staff, the whole organization, this morning, and I talked about how proud I was of all the things that our ownership has allowed to happen since we've been here. Yeah, we've been the playoffs every year. We've led baseball in attendance every year. We've been to the World Series twice. We've had a Baseball America Organization of the Year Award. We've had the number one, two, or three farm system year in, year out. And just about a month ago, we won the ESPN Humanitarian Team of the Year Award to cap everything else off. I'm extraordinarily proud about all of those things. But like I said, the first day I got here, we're the Dodgers. I think we can expect things like that because of our history and because we get to do it in the marketplace that allows those things to happen. So it's all tied together. Today's an important day, but it's not different from many, many other days. It's just a great thrill, pleasure, and a unique distinction to have anything to do with this franchise. I felt that way the first day I walked in here, and I feel that way every morning that I wake up as a member of the Dodgers.
Stan, last thing, I at least for me, I wonder, moving forward, if you think there's going to be, you, as I mentioned, have been a career sports executive. Do you think this changes anything moving forward permanently? In other words, has this experience going through COVID made you reassess? I know, for example, I'm a broadcaster. Broadcasters aren't going to travel. The Western divisions are gonna keep tighter. Do you think any of this plays beyond COVID once we get past this, whenever that is?
I think we have learned things. First of all, we've learned we can navigate surprisingly through all kinds of crises. That's always a good thing to know. But sure, some of the technology that we've utilized to adapt to the circumstances definitely have long-term lessons for us that we can deal with. You mentioned broadcasting from home. I suppose that's a possibility. But just all the things that we've been able to do while people were at home, I think are valuable lessons. So sure. And listen, I think we're going to, this year, experiment with rules in the game and with how we present the game on television. I think we're going to learn things there that maybe we couldn't have experimented with in a regular season. But now, you know, anything we try now, even the most dedicated purists are saying, what the hell? You know, the year is just different. Give it a try. And I think that's been the attitude. I think that's a good thing. So let's see what comes out of it that we learn. But I would not be surprised if we do come out of this understanding some things that maybe we didn't before.
Yeah. Well, listen, Stan, I appreciate you calling very much. It is a great day for the Dodgers organization. Mookie Betts is going to be a cornerstone for years to come. And we appreciate your time.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. There's Stan Kasten, president of the Dodgers. Cool.
All right, we'll take a break, come back to headlines coming up.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so Braves star Freddie Freeman doesn't think he'll be ready to start the season with Atlanta. He got a bad case of coronavirus. He described it on a Zoom call Saturday. The four-time All-Star revealed he has a high temperature, had a high temperature of 104.5 degrees early in his battle with COVID-19, and that he prayed for his life. He says, quote, "I said a little prayer that night. I've never been that hot before. My body was really, really hot. I said, please don't take me because I wasn't ready." John, we always talk about how many cases there are, but do we underplay the symptoms of the disease itself?
I don't know. I think every case is different. He obviously had a horrific experience with it. I've talked to people that never had symptoms at all. So I think the one thing that we should continue to report is it's extremely contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and since you don't know if you're going to be one of the lucky ones who gets an asymptomatic case, you should try not to get it. And you should try not to give it to anybody else if you do have it. And so I have no problem with continuing to encourage people to wear masks and to play it safe. But I don't think that we've necessarily underreported the symptoms, because every case is different. Guys like Russell Westbrook say they never had any effects of it, and guys like Freddie Freeman say they almost died.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah, you just don't know. Whenever I hear number of cases, I think, like, for example, in LA right now, you can't get tested unless you have some kind of symptoms. So that means every person that goes and gets tested feels like they're getting sick.
And that's not totally true. I mean, there are some companies where you can get tested if they pay for private tests.
Oh, for private? Oh, yeah. If you got money.
It just depends where you work.
If you got money, you can get great medical treatment.
Or if your company does, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mace. Three members of the Astros got hit by pitches during Tuesday's exhibition game with the Royals. Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman got hit in back-to-back at-bats in the second inning, even though both guys were beamed with the bases loaded. Then George Springer got hit in the fifth. Altuve got knocked down again later in the game. Common sense says you would never hit a guy on purpose with the bases loaded. It gives the other team a run. But these are exhibition games that don't count. Is it possible that the other players are still so mad at the Astros for cheating, they're willing to throw at these guys no matter what? Do you think these beanballs were on purpose?
I think that the first two were not on purpose, just having gone back and looked at him. You don't do it with the bases loaded, and he clearly was just trying to establish himself on the inside of the plate. The Springer one is questionable. The Springer one could have been deliberate, although that if it was deliberate, it was a dangerous one because Springer was able to get his head out of the way of that pitch. So I don't think that was either. I don't think the Astros have yet to seen the wrath of other baseball teams. I mean, I really hope that when the Dodgers play them next week, wow, the Dodgers play the Astros next week. When the Dodgers play the Astros next week, some guys hit the dirt. That's what I'm hoping
for.
Yeah,
I think the Astros are going to lead the league in hit by pitch. I really do. And you could say it's coincidental, but I'm calling my shot on July 22nd, a day before the season starts. So I technically have a 1 in 30 chance of being right if you think it's all equal. You watch. Astros lead the league in hit by pitch.
Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes got VIP tickets to see Post Malone back in February, and they were invited backstage to meet with Malone. He's one of America's biggest selling artists, challenged them to beer pong. Malone guaranteed a win and made an unusual bet with the loser having to get tats. Malone, Post Malone, lost 14 of 15 games of beer pong. So he was forced to get tattoos of the signatures of Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce on his body. He went through with it. He's now got Mahomes' autograph and Kelce's autograph right on his body. Now, if I tell you, John, that you must get somebody's autograph inked onto your body, who do you choose?
I have to do it.
Have to do it.
It would either be Lisa or Jack. I'd flip a coin. It'd be my son or my wife.
Their signatures.
I wouldn't want anybody else's signature, would you?
The only one I can think of is I would not mind a signature from Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese monk who I follow, who wrote The Art of Mindfulness. Like, I could live with something like that. I don't want I don't want to say a real person. He's like a guru spiritual person. I don't want just like a regular person's. I don't want Pat Mahomes autographed onto my arm.
Do you think Lisa would get mad at me if I autographed Kate Beckinsale on my body?
I think she might. Think she might.
I don't think I can get away with that.
Yeah. Kate Beckinsale's face right in the.
Who was it? Quentin Richardson, who used to play for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Dated Brandy, the singer, I think, or they might even have been married. And I think Brandy had a tattoo of him on her back, and then they broke up.
Yep.
And so she changed it to a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you don't want to necessarily do it with somebody you don't think is going to be in your life forever.
If John Ireland gets a tattoo, I propose that it's a tramp stamp.
Oh, why not? I think it'd be funny.
Oh, it would be awesome if you got a tramp stamp. All right, it's to you.
All right. We asked Stan Kasten, I brought up with Stan, that broadcasters, we had Joe Davis on the show this week. A lot of broadcasters are not traveling with their teams. Michael and I aren't going to the bubble. Joe and Oral Hershiser aren't going on the road with the Dodgers. Charlie Steiner, the Dodgers radio announcer, has a medical condition, so he will call games from his living room.
Wow.
Now, if Charlie does this well, you know, like John Shambi and Jess Mendoza and all those
guys. They've been great. Yeah, they've been great on the KBO.
Home, they've all been great. Should other announcers be worried that our days of calling games from stadiums and arenas are over if you can't tell any difference that the guys are at home?
Probably not play-by-play broadcasters. I mean, if I was a newspaper, a smaller newspaper, and I scrapped together enough money to send a beat writer to follow a team around, I can see that being a place where things get limited because you can cover it with Zoom calls and watching the game and all that stuff. In the case of play-by-play and color announcers, I think those guys are always going to wind up being at games.
Well, we'll see. And we'll see if we can tell, listening to Charlie, whether or not we can tell he's in his living room. That'll be interesting. I think he could probably pull it off.
All right. Let's call headlines off.
Okay. And
let's call it over.
Yeah. There's still much more to come on Mason and Ireland, including another trip to the bubble.
Yep.
And our friend in 15 minutes, our friend Molly Knight, who I haven't talked to forever, is going to come in the show. Molly was at Dodger Stadium earlier this week, and she literally wrote the book on the Dodgers.
Yes, she
did. A few years ago, so all that's still to come.
Now, Adam, just speak up. You said we're going to keep going?
No, guys, there is no break. You guys get to go a full segment again.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
let
me ask you, John, a question about Woody Johnson. Do you know the Woody Johnson story?
A little bit.
Okay. So he is the New York Jets owner, and he's U.S. ambassador to the U.K. and he's in hot water after making what seemed to be racist and sexist remarks to his staff while working for the White House. In 2018, ahead of an event for Black History Month, commonly marked at U.S. embassies around the world, Johnson appeared agitated and asked if the audience would be, quote, a whole bunch of black people, according to one source. Three sources said Johnson questioned why the black community would want a separate month to celebrate black history and argued that black fathers didn't remain with their families, and that was the real challenge. One source said an official who heard the remarks was stunned, and also the incident was documented and made known to inspectors and a supervisor. Then, according to one source, at certain public events, Johnson would start his remarks by quipping about how many pretty women were present, reducing them to decorative objects in a way a source described as just sort of cringeworthy. Two sources said the ambassador indicated he preferred working with women, but he suggested that was because women were cheaper and worked harder than men. He would also comment on the way that the women in the embassy were dressed, two sources told CNN. What should the league do, if anything, with Woody Johnson?
Well, they better, as we've learned, they better have tape. Of all the people we need in this situation, Mace,
yep.
V. Stiviano would help. Because Donald Sterling reportedly behaved the way we heard on those tapes for years. But nobody ever had the smoking gun. As a matter of fact, the Jets have already released a statement denying everything you just said. Here's Woody Johnson's statement. Quote, I have followed the ethical rules and requirements of my office at all times. These false claims of insensitive remarks about race and gender are totally inconsistent with my longstanding record and values. End quote. Donald Sterling used to do this all the time. And I'm not saying that Woody Johnson is the next Donald Sterling, but if he is, if all those things you just read are in the universe, we all have phones in our pocket.
Right.
I'm wondering
He was speaking at public events.
Yeah, I wonder, because he was speaking at public events, I wonder if somebody has tape. Ray now, Rice, when he punched his wife in the face,
yep,
was suspended for 2 games until the tape came out.
Yep.
When the tape came out, career over. Not only 2 games, done for life. Woody Johnson will be, and you know, these owners, we haven't talked about this in a while. I don't think Daniel Snyder's going to sell. You were adamant that they're going to make him sell.
I think he should be forced out. I also don't think he will be.
Right.
I think that sort of behavior is tolerated by NFL owners.
And this would be another example of it, unless, and this is critical, somebody comes up with a smoking gun. That's the world we live in. If there's evidence that Woody Johnson is this guy and somebody can prove it, then he's in real trouble. That's why V. Stiviano was so critical in the Donald Sterling story. If she doesn't record him.
Yep.
We knew about Don. You and I knew about Donald Sterling being a pig for years.
Yeah, we did.
We couldn't prove it. And so if we were going on the air and we were saying, you know, this Donald Sterling's a racist.
Wait a minute, whoa. I think there was lots of evidence Donald Sterling and discrimination against African Americans when it came to his apartment.
There were a lot of accusations and a lot
There were a lot of investigations and a lot of charges filed.
And and none of them stuck because he would take everybody to court. He would outlast everybody in court. And so the NBA had no grounds by which to remove him. And right now, Woody Johnson, there are no grounds to which to remove him. Now, after Donald Sterling said all that stuff and V. Stiviano recorded it, people went back into those trials which he either settled or won, and went back and looked at the testimony. That like if you listen to Ramona's podcast series,
yeah, sure.
Sterling Affairs, some of that stuff comes right out of the courtroom testimony. It was all out there. None of us went and found it. Now Woody Johnson's being accused.
But we all knew he was a racist.
Right, we couldn't prove it. Can you prove Woody Johnson is the guy you described 2 minutes ago?
I don't know. There's a whole bunch of sources. I don't know.
Do any of them have a smoking gun? That's what's gonna swing this story. And by the way, the reason Dan Snyder's not going to be ousted is that one line in the Washington Post that said
he didn't know.
He didn't say he didn't know. It said Dan Snyder has not been accused of inappropriate behavior, but they think he knew about it. But nobody can prove it. And if you can prove it with a smoking gun, it completely changes the game. So that's what's going to swing this Woody Johnson story. And what makes it interesting is that in 2020, like you said, those were public events.
Yep.
Public events. Like, I worked at TV News for 25 years. We save our B-roll tapes. We save the tapes that were in the camera the day we went to stories. They don't recycle those things right away. And now most stations are on a server. They put all that stuff into a computer.
Yes.
And so if Woody Johnson said these things at public events, and there was media there, and New York's the number one media market in the world with 7 TV news stations.
Well, it was all said, by the way, in the UK, because he's the ambassador over there.
Well, still, you would think that some of those events
some of those people got phones, yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll see if anything comes out. But he has doubled down with this statement that the Jets issued today, saying, I never did any of that. That's not me. It's false.
Let me throw you a prop. Let's propose
one thing.
Let me propose a hypothetical. Okay. He did say all that stuff. What happens?
Is it on tape?
Yeah.
Then they move on him. Then the other owners have to move, or the sponsors get picketed, and then it all changes. But you have to have a smoking gun. You have to have V. Stiviano. You have to have Ray Rice. You have to have the tape. We live in a world of prove it or I'll just deny. And that's what he's doing. He's denying.
Although, John, having been in a courtroom, there's not always a smoking gun.
Right.
And people do get convicted.
Right.
Based on evidence, direct and indirect evidence.
You want to bet me mythical money that Woody Johnson still...
Oh, no, I think all these guys skate on all this stuff.
Yeah.
No, this is big, corrupt, rich guy club.
It's, you know, technically you are innocent until you're proven guilty. And what proves these guys guilty is actual hard tape. And until, but here's what I will say. I don't know that he's not gonna, like, you and I live our entire lives on tape.
Yes.
You know, like, if we were this guy, it would be out. You know, somebody would have a copy of it.
Yep.
I don't know that somebody doesn't. I don't know if this, you know, guys who act like this normally do it all the time. And I'm not so sure somebody doesn't have it on tape. And the question is, will it see the light of day? By the way, there are tapes from The Apprentice that have never been released for whatever reason.
Sure, reason.
You know, that apparently incriminate President Trump.
Sure, sure.
But nobody can get the tapes.
No, no. You know, John, one of my quests, and I'm not sure where we are on the clock.
One more minute. You got 1 minute.
One more. Okay, so let's pass this along.
Molly Knight next.
The Angels have announced, and Mike Trout has announced, that he will play this season, which we didn't know about before. He does have a baby on the way, but Mike Trout is going to play this season for the Angels. He made that official today. So that's good news for the Angels and good news for baseball. That the best player in the game is going to be playing during this 60-game sprint. All right, coming up next for you, again, Mookie Betts signs a $365 million contract with the Dodgers. Molly Knight, who literally wrote the book on the Dodgers, will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so the Dodgers make the big move today. They sign Mookie Betts to a $365 million contract, and this gives us an opportunity to bring one of my very favorite people onto the show. John, I've run into Molly Knight all over town, including once at a Taylor Swift concert. And she joins us now. Hey, Molly, how are you?
Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot about that. Yes, that was a great tour, the 1989 tour. It was awesome.
It was. It was a great tour. It was a great tour.
All right, so Molly, before we get into the Mookie Betts deal, yeah. I follow you on Twitter, and I saw you were at Dodger Stadium. Was it last night or the night before?
Last night.
All right, so describe what that's like for somebody who's been to Dodger Stadium so many times like you. What was that like last night?
It was super strange. First of all, I woke up yesterday in a really good mood because I love baseball. I mean, I love it. I love sports. You know, Dodger Stadium is one of my personal sanctuaries. So it's just like, just walking in there felt amazing. And I understand, like, you know, how many fans would want to go and how, like, cool the experience of just going into that cathedral is. But it's a really different experience. It's kind of spooky without fans. And then, of course, they have the piped-in crowd noise, which was a little bit... I think they're working out the kinks on that. It's strange. Like, I'd be writing something. And normally when you're a writer and you're there, you're working in addition to watching the game. You're trying to do both. And usually if there's, like, a home run or, you know, or a run scores, you know, because the crowd reacts or something happens and you look up. And at one point, like, someone hit a home run and there was, like, no... on the Angels, Tommy La Stella, and there was just, like, no... reaction at all, and I looked up and the Angels were up 1-0, and I'm like, how did that, what just happened? So that was a little bit, I think part of that too was just the fact that it was a practice game, you know, so I think in the regular season, you're going to hear teammates, you know, cheer and clap and scream for their teammate when that happens, you know, more so than yesterday. Obviously, they're supportive always, but I think it'll be, there will be more intensity in the regular season games. The field looks beautiful. Dodger Stadium, it's a real bummer because there are some great renovations. The ability to walk all the way around, although we were pretty much quarantined to one area on the loge behind home plate. But just some nice touches I noticed, too, in making that stadium even nicer. And it's a bummer that fans can't see it this year, but it'll be there next year.
So, Molly, you're very wired into the Dodgers organization. Did this surprise you? Did this Mookie Betts deal catch you by surprise?
Well, it was weird. Last night, I kind of made a mental note. It was weird that Mookie Betts wasn't in the lineup.
Yes.
So first I'm thinking, oh, God, is he hurt? Because it made Dave Roberts' answer made no sense because they have an off day today.
I just assumed they wrapped him in bubble wrap to get ready for opening day.
The answer was, we want to give him 2 days off. It's like, that doesn't make sense when right now the most important thing is getting timing, and this is a 27-year-old man in the prime peak condition of his life. He doesn't, he needs, you know, reps, you know, to get ready more, but he needs 2 days off. It just seemed kind of weird. So I was thinking, oh, God, is he injured? Something bad happened? Does he have the virus or, you know? And then when I woke up this morning and saw the news that, you know, he had signed this, or they were nearing this massive deal, it's like, oh, that's what was going on. Like, you know, they were so close, and he thought, yeah, probably not the best idea to go out there and you know, tear an ACL in a practice game, right, as I'm about to sign a $400 million contract. So I think it did come together really quickly. They talked about the parameters of the deal in spring, but just only in the last 5 or 6 days were both sides motivated to just get this deal done before opening day and have it be done with. So it was a little bit of a surprise in that sense, just because I don't think any of us were really expecting any team to announce a $380 million deal in the midst of this pandemic, right? With so much uncertainty and of, like, when are fans going to be allowed back? What do the economics look like? So in that sense, it was a little surprising, but my God, if you have a chance to lock a player up like that and it's not named Mike Trout, Mookie Betts would be probably my second pick after Trout.
Okay, on that subject, and we're talking to Molly Knight. Molly, when you wrote your book, The Best Team Money Can Buy, mm-hmm. and up until now, the Dodgers have never given a 10-year-plus deal to anybody. No player. Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner all got like 4 to 5 year deals. This is new ground for Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers. Why is Mookie Betts that guy? They could have got in for Harper. They could have got in for Cole. Why Mookie Betts?
Well, I think they have the ability to trade for him and see firsthand, kind of scout him firsthand and see what he was like, see how he fit in with the organization, with the culture, see his work ethic, and see his skills up close. I think when they traded for him, Andrew Friedman said today, they definitely had an eye on trying to lock him up long-term because they had to give up two really good young prospects and Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs to get him. They figured it'd be in the Red Sox lineup in the next couple of years. But Friedman said, really, it was just even in the last week or so, or a couple of weeks since summer camp began, he'd look out from his office and out in the executive offices or out on the club level, down the right field line by the left field line by the foul pole, and he would look out on the field and he just noticed that Mookie was the first player on the field every day, doing drills, stretching, running, doing whatever he needed to do. And so I think for them, it was just a question of who are we going to try to build around, what young player are we going to try to build around. And they obviously felt that while those other guys, were really good players, they felt that Betts has the kind of work ethic and is a kind of presence in the locker room, kind of a quiet presence who leads by example more than talk, that they could build around and that they could bring young guys up who would want to basically emulate him. I think they were looking for somebody, a franchise player, and they found it, Manny Mookie. No questions about anything, about work ethic, about attitude, about hustle. This guy scored from first base, I think on a single or something in the ninth inning of game 162, meaningless game last year for the Red Sox. And, he's always hustling, and there's no quit in him.
Molly Knight is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So as you look at this Dodgers lineup, and especially with the universal DH, they are absolutely loaded offensively now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the weakness, if there is one on this team, is still the bullpen?
You know what? I think their bullpen's actually gotten a lot better with the signings of Blake Treinen, and they got Brusdar Graterol in there. Those guys are nasty. I mean, Graterol sits 100 miles per hour, and Treinen throws Treinen was the best reliever in the game 2 years
ago. Yeah, 38 saves 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, he throws like a 96-mile-an-hour sinker ball that's unhittable when it's right. And, I mean, God, their bullpen looks pretty strong. I question their starting pitching a little bit, even though they've got some good depth there, because they lost Hyunjin Ryu, who was really, really good. He'll be the Blue Jays opening day starter. I think he's, one of the most underrated players in Dodgers history, frankly, if you look at his numbers and also how good he was in the playoffs. He had some health issues, obviously, but that's a tough guy to replace. It's a short season, so we'll see. But, I mean, man, they're just going to outslug everyone anyway. And if their bullpen is solid, then they're going to be really tough to beat.
Molly, if they get a challenge from someone in that division, and I don't think they're going to, but who would it be? Who's the second-best team in the West?
Probably the Padres.
You're on the Padres bandwagon.
I kind of am. I mean, they're just like, they just got such great young talent. I mean, Chris Paddock, their ace, and then obviously Tatis Jr. They've got some really good guys. I mean, they're still really young, and they haven't been to the playoffs in a while. The Giants look to be wretched. The Diamondbacks might be improved with Bumgarner.
The Diamondbacks the Diamondbacks are the team, Molly.
Yeah, they probably are. It was interesting. They came into Dodger Stadium earlier this week and just got completely throttled, which you would think is really matters that much. It's practice, and they're pitching whoever. But it sounded like, from talking to the Diamondbacks beat writer Nick Pecoro, who's great with the Arizona Republic, that they really measure themselves against the Dodgers, and that coming into Dodger Stadium and getting throttled is not something that any of them. I mean, they took it seriously, so. The Diamondbacks probably, you're right, probably up there. But I guess I'm such a fan of some of the young Padres that I can't wait to see.
Yeah, they're going to be really good. I think it's a year early, personally.
Yeah, you're probably right. But it's a 60-game season, so like.
Yeah, that's the thing, Molly. As a Dodger fan, 60-game season scares me because let's say you go on a. Every game's basically worth three games. So let's say you go on a six-game losing streak, which is not uncommon for a good team to go on a six-game losing streak. Yeah. That's the equivalent of 18 games.
I know. Well, last year, the best team through 60 games in the National League was the Dodgers. Obviously, they didn't make the World Series.
Yep.
The Nationals had the third worst record of the National League. They were 27 and 33, I think. The Astros had the best record in the American League, and they made the World Series. So the Dodgers have gotten off to pretty hot starts in the last 3 or 4 years. They've been pretty dominant. So we'll see. I mean, with that lineup, it's hard for me to see how they – I mean, I guess they might have 16 teams in the playoffs this year, which is insane. But
which is ridiculous. Are you against that?
Yeah, I'm totally against it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, just why even have a regular season? I mean, just start the playoffs like what the NBA is going to do, right?
Yeah, five wild cards would be ridiculous. That's a stupid idea.
Yeah, and it just means more travel in the uncertainty of the pandemic, and it's just weird. So I would not. In favor of that. The universal DH is going to be super weird, too. I mean,
I like that, though.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun, especially because the Dodger pitchers are all lousy hitters, maybe except for Kershaw.
It is going to eliminate a certain National League strategy that I always really enjoyed, but I think it's probably better for the average fan.
Yeah, and I guess better in the year when you have the situation going on with the COVID and maybe some pitchers aren't built up to throwing 7-8 innings yet. You have to kind of make decisions based on keeping guys healthy. I can see that. It's just going to be strange. Dodgers Stadium, I'm really having a huge hitting league, but these are strange times, and you got to roll with it.
Yep. Well, listen, Molly, thank you very much. I'm curious, by the way, you and I are both T-Swift fans. Did you have tickets to see her at SoFi? It would have been Saturday night at SoFi Stadium.
You know, I hadn't bought them, but I was going to try to figure out how to go. I mean, how to buy them. You know, either on StubHub or figure something out and go. I support her, and I can't wait to get back into not only seeing sports with fans, but going to concerts with
going to concerts, going to movies.
Hey, forget about the fact that she can't do a concert. Who is she dating now? Because whenever she breaks up with a guy,
Molly?
No, Taylor Swift. Because whenever she breaks up with a guy, she writes really good songs. Have you guys ever noticed that?
Sure.
She's been dating the same guy for a while. He's
British actor guy.
No, she broke up with Hiddleston a long time ago.
No, not Hiddleston. She's a different British actor guy.
Different British actor guy. All right. Well, if he breaks up with her for a month, she'll write a really good album. So that would help. Yeah. You know, we need a good album in these times of COVID.
Well, Molly, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it a lot. Good catching up.
Always. Love you guys.
Thanks, Molly.
Okay,
bye.
Okay, love you, Molly. There's Molly Knight. We got Radio Tinder coming up next.
Yep.
Funch Day filling in for Linz. On Radio Tinder.
Oh, that's going to improve French's chances in Game of Games,
Yes. She's out for the rest of the week, too, so
it's
I can catch up.
Although, me versus Funch.
No. Bronstein's in there, and how embarrassing would it be if Bronstein beats Funch's? Bronstein would have the same amount of wins as Funch, even though Funch has worked like 40 more shows.
Yeah, Funch, you're the home team.
We'll make some fun. We'll make something happen today, guys.
Okay, good. All right, Radio Tinder's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it is time for Radio Tinder. Funch is in for Linz today. Funch, what do you got?
All right, this NFL player could have a richer contract than Patrick Mahomes. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right.
I'm curious. Swipe right. Who is it?
All right, former Green Bay Packers GM Andrew Brandt was on a Russ Tucker podcast when he said Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott could break a bigger bank than Pat Mahomes.
Prescott is setting himself up for a massive contract, and in my view, a much better contract than Mahomes, because now he's negotiating off $31 million, where if he did a deal last year, he'd be negotiating off $700,000, and next year he'll be negotiating off of $37 million. So he's going to get a massive deal, and mark my words, he's going to eclipse the Mahomes deal, I think, by a good margin.
Guys, you think Dak is worthy enough to get a Mahomes-type deal?
I'm going to say no.
Hell no!
He's not in the ballpark with... The one guy who I think is going to get close to Mahomes is Deshaun Watson. But Dak Prescott, no. Not.
I think Lamar Jackson could get close too if he has another one.
Oh, Lamar Jackson is a very good point. Yeah, if he holds up and if he's still doing what he's doing, he absolutely could get Mahomes' money.
Do you guys know how good Mahomes is?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
But there is common inflation, John.
No. But I'm just saying, Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes are not in the same area code.
Some people believe Dak is in the same area code.
No, Dak Prescott he wins. I mean, he's good, but I would put Dak Prescott on a level with like Kirk Cousins, who at one point was the highest paid quarterback in the league. To make your point, Mace, but
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, I think, is a once in a generation type quarterback. I think Patrick Mahomes has a chance to put up Dan Marino like numbers. I don't think Dak does.
No, I don't either. I don't either. No on Dak Prescott. Deshaun Watson will get close, and maybe Lamar Jackson will be at that level.
All right, we'll go to the next one. Kids with very expensive accessory with price tags of what some people make in a year. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. What's that
about? I'm curious. Yeah.
All right. This is from the New York Post. Kylie Jenner and rapper Cardi B seem to be running a clinic on how to spoil your kids in a pandemic. Last week, Jenner posted a picture of her daughter Stormy, who is only two, holding a $1,000 Louis Vuitton bag. Then this week, Jenner showed off a row of Prada handbags she bought for her daughter, which could retail from anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. Then a few weeks ago, Cardi B's rapper husband Offset from the group Migos shared a video of their two-year-old daughter Culture opening up a Hermes Birkin bag, which can cost up to $50,000 or $60,000. Now, Cardi said to the haters, if I was looking like a bad bleep, expensive bleep, and I had my kid looking like a bum, then y'all would be talking bleep. So I'm not mad that daddy bought baby a Birkin. She's going to match mommy. Guys, give me your thoughts on giving toddlers very expensive things.
It's a waste of money. You know, they don't know the difference between that and something bought at Price Club. But they are trying
Birkin bag and a plastic bag. I don't think the kid may choose plastic bag.
Especially a two-year-old.
Yeah.
But when First Lady Kim Kardashian gets into the White House, I think they are going to take pictures like this all the time, Mace. They're all about image.
And attention. And this is generating attention for them.
John, you have a kid. Would you buy your kid a $10,000 bag?
I'd get him a bag a paper bag from Ralph's that has two handles, because I can't get a plastic bag anymore. But no,
not even $10.
I would not spend. I remember one year, Lisa. She goes, "What do you want for your birthday?" She said, "I need a black purse." So I asked one of the girls I worked with, one of the anchors I worked with. I go, "Hey, I need to get a good black purse. What am I looking at?" And she goes, "Well, you can pay anything from $100 to $10,000." And I go, "Let's look at the $100 ones."
Let me just ask a question. I mean, I don't know anything about women's clothing and bags and stuff, but what the hell is a Birkin bag and why is it so expensive? Isn't it just a purse?
It's a purse, and it's like one of the best purses in the world, I guess.
Like, what defines one of the best purses?
It's all about the name, Mace.
It's just the name. Yeah, it's the name.
Yeah, and Mace, it's also true in shoes. Like, shoes that you couldn't tell the difference between.
Yeah, I know, like Jimmy Choo and all these shoes.
They cost
Louis Vuitton.
$10,000.
Yeah, just crazy. Just crazy. I don't get it. Just a complete waste of money.
Yeah, don't get it. But if you know, if you've got the money, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, Kylie Jenner.
And she's got it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the next one, guys. Top 10 sports songs to get any arena hype. Swipe left or swipe right, guys.
Let's swipe right just to see how many of them we can get.
Yeah.
All right. So are these mostly modern songs, Funch, or old school songs?
Well, ESPN, they came out with a top 10 hype arena songs that get the crowd rocking at any sporting event, basically. Okay. And I got the top five, but I can get the ten.
Okay,
right now.
How about this one?
Let's see if we can
everybody
get the top
five. Clap your hands.
No,
that's
not on the list.
Not a guess. We're not guessing that.
Queen, We Will Rock You.
Queen, We Will Rock You, number four.
Okay, that's a good one. Mace, what's the Black Eyed Peas song that they always play?
Oh, I got a feeling.
Yeah, I got a feeling it's not on the list, but we'll guess that in honor of the Lakers.
Not on the list, guys.
Okay. One strike.
God, that song I hate.
So I'm trying to think of...
Oh, Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Part 1.
No, Gary Glitter.
Mace, I still hear it.
Mace, that guy got canceled.
No, it's not. I heard it in a Kings game.
Gary Glitter got canceled.
Yeah, he got canceled.
Well, he did, but his song didn't.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jackson. Once you get canceled, the music kind of goes with it. I don't even know what else would be on the list.
There's a pretty obvious one at number one. You guys would be, shocked that you guys didn't get it.
What about
Journey, Don't Stop Believing?
That's number one.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's literally number one.
Yeah.
What do you guys feel about that song? You guys like hearing out the arenas and stuff like that?
That's fine. But it's not something that – I'm trying to think of what else would get people go. What about Eminem, Lose Yourself?
It's actually number six, John.
Okay.
How about what's that House of Pain song?
Jump Around.
Jump Around.
Not on the list.
Right, so not on the list.
We only have one strike left.
Yeah.
All right. That one's not on the list. What about Mace? What's something more modern that people would play?
Something more modern.
What you pride yourself?
How about
on the cutting edge of music?
How about Run This Town by Jay-Z and Kanye and those
guys?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
No, not on the list, guys. Right,
so we're out. What is the list?
Number 10, Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. Number 9, Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Oh,
sure.
Should've got that.
Number 8, Lizzo, fairly new, True Hurts.
They played that one night at the Staples Center when she was there in the place.
And she was wearing like a thong.
Yeah, I remember that night, yes.
It was crazy.
Number 7 is Seven Nation Army, White Stripes.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that a lot. Number 6, Lose Yourself, Eminem. Number 5, Humbled by Kendrick Lamar. 4 is Queen, We Will Rock You. Number 3, this is surprising to me, Run the World by Beyonce.
Oh, interesting.
You know, girls, run the world, girls. And then number 2, Timber with Pitbull and Kesha. Yeah. And number 1, Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Wow, Kanye wasn't the answer this time?
No, not at all, guy.
Unbelievable.
Hey,
Brunstein, that's President Kanye to you.
Oh, the poor man is falling apart. Don't pick on Kanye.
What are you talking about?
His whole family's having an intervention for him right now.
Yeah, he's our next commander in chief.
She did a whole speech on bipolar disease today.
Hey, you're bipolar, and I like you. I'd rather have you in there than some of these people we've elected. Don't quit crapping on President Kanye.
All right, coming up next for you, the big story of the day. If you're a Dodger fan, if you're a baseball fan, the Dodgers have landed Mookie Betts for a 12-year, $365 million contract just on the eve of the start of the season. Tomorrow night at Dodger Stadium, Dodgers versus Giants. Mookie will be there out in right field for his first regular season game as a Dodger. We'll get into that story coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ES. Let me just correct myself. Let's wait on that, and let's go to the bubble instead.
Yeah. Because Kyle Goon's coming on.
Yeah, Kyle Goon from the Orange County Register is coming on next. So all that stuff I said before, we'll still do. It just won't be next. We're going to the NBA bubble next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.